So we've been in this series on these four titles or names that have that are described in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, like Nick mentioned here. And I'd like to read that passage again, if you would stand with me, if you're able to stand, in honor of God's word. So it says here in Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." This is God's word. Please have a seat. You know, and as we, each time we read that passage, just reminded that, you know, it's really a passage that communicates hope. It really does, because there's this picture of these people who once were in darkness, now there's a light, right? And once they were, you know, oppressed, and now they're free, as it's described. And the reason is, it gives the reason there, for unto us that a son is born, a son is given, a child is born. This baby that is spoken of is Jesus, is Jesus. And so Jesus coming is certainly a message of hope. And as we've gone through these different names, right, Wonderful Counselor, and Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, we see these different aspects of who Jesus is. And last week we talked about his fatherly qualities in being called Everlasting Father. And today we hit on Prince of Peace. And so I wanted to just throw up here a simple couple of sentences about peace. And when we talk about it, what are we speaking of? Peace, an inner sense of contentment and quietness, regardless of circumstances. A steadfast confidence in our ever faithful, unchanging Heavenly Father. And so when we're talking about experiencing peace with God and the peace of God and relational peace, which we're going to hit on those three today, three different aspects of peace. This is at kind of think about this definition, this inner sense of contentment and quietness regardless of circumstances. Right, whatever, regardless of what's going on around you, being able to kind of have a quiet trust. About a week ago, something happened, and I can't get into the details, but in my other job, which made me worried. I was thinking about what was happening for about 24 hours. I had no peace for 24 hours. I could just be honest and say I had none. I was just anxious, you know, and primarily because there was, I'll just put it this way, it was a relational problem primarily. Somebody had a problem with me, and I just don't like that. I like people to like me, you know. I think we're probably all that way, unless you're just mean, you know. I don't think most people would say, "Well, I like people to not like me," you know. And so because there was this lack of peace in this particular relationship. I just lacked peace. I was just like in my mind, you know, just going all kinds of places in terms of, you know, what would be the worst case scenario type of thing. And it was just, it was faithless, you know, honestly. If I was to be honest, I was not trusting God. And but we all encounter those things, right, that really just, can I say, just say suck the peace right out of your life if we let them, right? But, hey, the wonderful thing is that if a person comes into relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, we can really and truly trust him with whatever's going on, no matter how bad the news is, no matter how bad the relationship is, whatever that is threatening our peace, that we can experience that. And that is an incredible thing. And so I just think it's so great that we're talking about that, this particular issue now, because there are so many things that kind of, you know, steal our peace if we let it this time of year. And so let's kind of dive in here, these three types of peace. This first one, eternal peace, is really speaking of our spiritual condition. All right. If I want to have eternal peace, this is really having peace with God. All right. That'd be another way to say it, is having peace with God. And, you know, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. You know, one of the reasons is because he has come to enable us to experience peace with God when we don't really have it when we're born into this world. We're not born at peace with God, and we don't like to think of ourselves that way, that we're like enemies of God. But, you know, honestly, if you read the book of Romans and many other places, but the book of Romans just really lays out the case that, you know, there's no good in us, really, ultimately. At the core of our being, we're sinful. We like to do things our own way. We prefer our way, frankly, to anybody else's way, you know, including God. And so, you know, even think about the birth announcement of Jesus in Luke 2:14, where it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased." Right? So the coming of Jesus is this announcement that with Jesus is coming peace. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities," that's another word for sins, your iniquities "have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." This verse gives us a clear picture of the condition of every person spiritually when we're born into this world, is that our sin, everyone is born with a sin nature, and we ourselves sin, and that has separated us from God. We do not have a relationship with God when we're born into this world. We are not at peace with God. This verse says that there is a separation, right? When you think about a relationship, relational rift, there's a separation. Something has separated them. And in this case, it is our sin. And Romans 3, verse 23, clearly states all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So nobody escapes this, right? Nobody can say, "Well, I'm the one exception. I've never sinned." You know, nobody. And so this is our condition, right, as the Lord explains to us here in his word, that we have sinned, and this has caused a separation from us. And God has really, you know, spiritually speaking, turned his back on us. Okay? Now, the wonderful news is that, right, this baby Jesus, as Nick was just sharing in communion, was born to die. Right? And so that we might have this, have a reconciliation with God. Right here in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So the only way anybody can ever be made right with God, come into a relationship with God the Father, right, is through Jesus Christ. That verse is very clear. It's through Jesus, right, we can be reconciled with him. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And there Paul says, okay, not only has he enabled Paul, the apostle, to become a Christian and be reconciled to God, but he's now wanting Paul and also us to share this ministry of helping people get connected to God, be reconciled to God. That's the ministry of reconciliation, right? And so, this is the eternal peace that we speak of, that the Bible talks about. And, you know, what we need to, though, realize is that so we are sinners, and that sin separates us from God, and that Jesus, yes, he has come that we might be reconciled to God through his sacrifice, just as Nick shared in the communion devotional. But, you know, knowing those facts is only part of the equation, right? Just knowing the information does not reconcile you to God. Now, it's important to know the right information, right? That's critical, right? And so, let me just say this. To have this peace with God, to be reconciled with him, to take advantage of what Jesus Christ has actually done for us on the cross, for us to be forgiven of our sins, we have to go beyond merely knowing these facts, and we have to experience a life-changing, can I say, I get it moment. Like, I get it. So, I mean, think about this. Think about Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, right? Him kind of wondering, you know, how does this even compute? That, you know, I know I haven't had sex with Mary, but she's got a baby and I know she hasn't cheated on me. You know, what kind of a baby is this? You know, what is going on here, right? But he had an I get it moment, right? Because he was informed in a dream what this was about, right? So he had this revelation of who this baby Jesus was going to be, and Mary also herself, an angel telling her what was going to happen and who this Jesus, who her child is, right? And we don't necessarily have to have, you know, an angelic revelation or a dream, although I'm sure God can use any method he would choose because he's God. But we need to have our own I get it moment. And I wanted you guys to hear, all of us, to hear from a couple of stories of people that could share their I got it moment or how God worked in their life to bring them to the point where like, I see my need. All right, so I'm going to have Becky Terry and Kathy Miller are going to come up here. They're going to share with us just a little bit about that, how their own experience. This is like the nurses' brigade, because these guys, well, Kathy is a former nurse, and Becky's still a nurse. Come on over here. Yes. So, yeah. So, I you know, these guys, poor guys, I sprung this on them like 30 minutes ago, you know, just to say, well, but I had a great confidence that I knew that they've shared their story with somebody somewhere along the line. But tell us just about, how whatever part of your story that where you're kind of like, I get it, or how God worked so that you could understand beyond the
first, and then you can end it.
Sure.
I accepted Jesus as my Savior as a young girl. I was 10 or 12, somewhere around in there. It was never written down or anything. But I had heard the gospel over and over again because, you know, I was at church a lot. And but that particular night, I was just overwhelmed, even at a young age, at my flaws. And overtaken with the fact that Jesus died He died on that cross. He suffered pain and for me, and it was very personal at that very moment. And I could not leave that church until I had made a public profession of faith. And I was so shook up. I kind of went forward a couple of seats and sat down, and then I went a couple more and I sat down. Finally made my way to the front of the church, and I was baptized that night. And that was the beginning for me. But unfortunately, as life went on and people around me began to fall away, I fell away as well and thought that God had walked away from me. Fast forward, got married, started having children, don't want to work full-time Monday through Friday anymore, and the James had just opened, and zoom, there I go. Got a job in the ICU and was wanting to get back into church, but thought I had strayed too far. And I met Becky. And I also met this other gal, Andrea, and she was at Linworth at the time. And she was just a contagious Christian. She was a Christian morning, noon, and night, and in the middle of the night, in the middle of a bath. We had a 5-bed ICU, and that's what we did at night. We did a lot of personal care, and there was no question in my mind that I had been placed there. I wanted what Andrea had, and I felt too unworthy, and I would have never gotten back. I would have never gotten to give my children what I wanted to give them, what I had gotten and thrown away. But through meeting her and meeting Becky and working there, and I think we were there 3 or 5 years in that unit, I got back. And I learned humility. And I guess that's the thing. And that you learn that at the foot of the cross. When God peels back your layers like an onion, and he thank goodness he does that, because if you remembered all that garbage at once, it would overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. But he allows you to peel it back layer by layer and weep and mourn and then step closer. And so it's been a wonderful relationship between Becky and I, and we worked together for a long time.
That was like 25 years ago, I think. I was thinking about that because I had to think about how old Brandon is. Yes, good morning. It took me a lot longer to understand the gospel. I also went to church the whole time I was growing up, but I don't think they explicitly laid out the gospel. If they did, it went right over my head. And so I just thought I had to be a good person to go to heaven. I thought I was a good person. And we started working in this little ICU. We worked night shift, and it was wonderful. We loved that place so much. I think we would have probably retired there. But Andrea and Kathy and a bunch of other people, we all kind of became close friends. And Andrea kept talking to me about Jesus, and I couldn't figure out why. And about every other sentence was about Jesus, and I just didn't get it. I mean, I was just not catching on. But I was going through a really tough time. She would ask me, if I died tonight, would I know for sure that I was going to heaven? I'm like, yeah, I'm a good person. But the thing that was really starting to get to me was the infertility I was going through. My husband and I had been married for a few years, and all my friends around me, my close friends, were all getting pregnant, and we were trying, and friends that I was working with that were done having their kids, were two of them, were having, oops, I'm pregnant. So I was happy for them, but I was sad for me, and I was really struggling, and Andrea really stayed with me, and she had 5 children of her own, and she just kept witnessing and stayed with me no matter what silly things, responses I had. So eventually I got to a point when she kept telling me that Jesus had a good plan for my life, and that he didn't want me to carry this burden alone. And I wasn't really sure what that plan was, but I got to a point where I needed to know, I needed somebody with me to help me more than my friends, more than my husband. And I finally, one morning in the kitchen, I was by myself, and I just remember putting my hands up and saying, okay, my friend keeps telling me that Jesus can help me carry any burden, and I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that, you know, I just need you. So it wasn't anything like, you know, a perfect prayer, but that was really all it took. I put my hands up in the air, and I fully expected somebody to grasp my hands, and I didn't get that, so I was a little disappointed. But after that, things changed. I just kind of, all of a sudden, I had this new interest in the Bible, and I started reading things in the Bible, and things were like jumping off the page at me, and so I knew something had changed. And it took me a long time, but and a lot of people witnessing to me, but I finally got it.
That's cool. Thank you for sharing that. And so, you know, it's interesting, Kathy's sharing, you know, getting saved at a young age and then kind of getting diverted, and that happens a lot, you know. And Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember for some reason the book Grace Awakening having an impact on your life. Was it a Charles Swindoll book or just getting grace, right? Because that's, you know, we feel unworthy when we get off the path, right? And maybe the longer we're off there, maybe the harder we feel to come back because we feel unworthy. But yet, the blood of Christ covers all of that, you know. And so I really just appreciate you sharing that. And just that, you know, young children can have this I get it moment. So do not think that you have to be like, you know, a teenager or something to understand this. You know, if the Holy Spirit is working on someone's heart, regardless of their age, they can get it. At its core, it's a simple message. They just need to have the faith of a child, as it says, right? God says it, I believe it, that settles it kind of thing, you know, that sort of a faith. And then Becky just, her story just is kind of a protracted one, right? It's over time. It's many conversations. But eventually, you know, she had this, I get it, I want it, you know. And that's a God thing. As I think about the scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, it's in the middle of one of Paul's prayers, but he says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. And that's really what happens when a person says, I get it. The eyes of our heart, if you will, are opened and we understand. In other words, the facts become personal. We believe. I believe it and I put my trust in it. And that's what happens when we have this I get it moment with God. And from that point on, when that happens, that person has peace with God. They're no longer an enemy of God, but a friend of God, right? And they have, it says, present tense, eternal life, right? That John 1:12 verse, right, that says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. It's that faith in who Jesus is, that faith that what he says about himself and what he says about me, all right, as a sinner, is true. And so I just think it's important for us to get this, right? Is that, and I just invite anyone here. I mean, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all, just because everybody's on a different timeline, that if there's somebody sitting in this room that's sat in this room for 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, and has not gotten it really, has not really made that distance from the head to the heart. And if you want to receive this gift of eternal life, and you sense the Holy Spirit saying, come on, I remember that conviction, that feeling that Kathy was saying in the Baptist church. I loved that Baptist church I grew up in. They preached the gospel. I remember I was resisting. Partly it was like I didn't want to make some kind of a public scene. Part of it was that. The other part was just, I was, you know, there's a spiritual battle going on when that happens. Just realize that. You know, I'm not going to have you come up here or anything. But if you sense the Spirit saying, listen, come on. What are you waiting for? He's done all the work. Now we just need to say yes. It's like going up to the altar when two people go up to get married. You know, and the guy says, you know, I do, and you're waiting for the other one, the gal, to say it, or vice versa. You know, you're like, come on, he's done everything. It's just say I do. And so I would just love for you to come into the family of God today just by saying, yes, Jesus, I want that. Kind of like what Becky expressed. You know, you just say, Lord, you know, there's no perfect prayers, but you know, the Lord knows your heart, right? If you know this information and say, Lord, I want that, right? If your heart, right, that's all it takes. Yeah, I want that, Lord. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior, and Jesus is it. Come into my life. And you don't even have to know what all that means, because nobody does. Nobody does this. I still don't know everything that's ahead. I could tell you a lot that's happened behind me, and I could tell you something I've learned from all that, from God's Word and from experience, whatever. And so can any other believer. But nobody knows the whole road ahead. But if you know the Savior, if you come into a relationship with God and you have peace with God, He'll carry you through anything whatsoever. So, I'll just leave you with this verse here. This says how simple it is. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You just need to confess it and believe it. Confessing means agree with God and just believe it. And your faith will justify you. The faith in what Jesus has done, it says. Okay. So, this is where it all starts. Because if you don't have peace with God, nothing else I ever say today is going to make any difference. You got to start there. That's like the beginning point, right? And so now let's talk a little bit about internal peace. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus, here towards the last days of his, before being crucified, had some words for his worried disciples, okay? His disciples were worried about some of the things Jesus was saying. He's saying, I'm going to go away, you know, and so on. And so in John 14, in verse 7, or excuse me, 14:27, it mentions this verse. I've got it up here. It says, Jesus says this. These are the words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so for the Christian now, for believers, he's saying, you know what, guys, I'm offering a peace here, since you have peace with God, I'm offering, though, a peace in your daily life that the world cannot give you. Now, the world can offer all kinds of peace. Insurance is peace, is a form of it is, and that's okay. I'm not saying it's bad to have insurance, right? But it is a level of you want to have some insurance because you want to have a little piece that if this thing happens, I've got some backup here, a safety net, if you will, right? So, but that's what the world does offer, and the you know, Jesus is saying, I'm not offering that kind of peace. I'm offering a peace that the world does not offer. And it's a peace as a matter of the heart, right? He says, let not your hearts be troubled. And so we can have a peace of mind and heart if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, right? We've got that peace with God taken care of. So then He empowers us actually to experience peace regardless of our circumstances. And so I wanted to share with you just a really brief testimony by way of video here this morning that talks a little bit about how this person, her name's Johnny, J-O-N-I, is talking about how just even recently, a couple years ago, she was really having a hard time experiencing peace and how she responded. I think it's a good response.
If you know me, you know that I love the Lord Jesus. I love the ministry he's given us at Johnny and Friends. I love, in fact, what God is teaching me in this wheelchair coming up on 50 years next year. But what I don't love is the chronic pain that I deal with almost on a daily basis. To be quite honest, my pain makes my quadriplegia a walk in the park. And even my battle against stage 3 cancer. Pain is something that can be unrelenting, endless, and it can rob you of joy and peace of mind. This past weekend, I had a particularly challenging bout with hip pain, and I almost felt as though emotionally I was going to deflate. I was just going to collapse in discouragement. But just then, God gave me the words to a beautiful hymn that helped center my thinking and helped focus me back on the source of grace, the Lord Jesus, who was always my ever-present help in trouble. And that hymn was, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. And I love the last verse. It goes, let me think. Ever lift thy face upon me as I watch and wait for thee, resting neath thy smile, Lord Jesus. Earth's dark shadows flee. Sunshine of the Father's glory, brightness of the Father's face, keep me trusting, resting ever, thine is full of grace. And you know what? The pain did not go away, but my fear and anxiety did, and my depressing thoughts did. I did not get delivered, but I encountered the deliverer. I didn't get healed this past weekend of my bout with pain, but I encountered the healer, and I hope you will as well. When you come up against a struggle this week, a challenging hurdle to overcome, whether it be chronic pain, whatever, go to Jesus, your ever-present help in any trouble.
It's interesting there that, you know, she kind of, God redirected her focus, didn't he? He brought to mind the truth of a hymn, and she started getting her focus on the Lord, and God helped her have peace, even though the pain didn't go away, the circumstances didn't change, but yet God granted her peace as she redirected her gaze. And I think there's a good lesson there. There's a really good lesson there. In fact, if you have your Bible or your device, take a look in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Says, you keep, speaking of God, you, God, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That is a wonderful promise. And for any one of us that's experiencing, even as a believer here, right, a lack of peace because of something that's going on, really, this promise is basically saying, you know, if we, another way to say it is to have our focus, our minds focus on the Lord, and If we do that, he promises, because we're actually starting then to trust him as we remind ourselves maybe of the promises of God, and then we trust him. It says there in that verse, right, 26, verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace. That's the promise part. The condition part there, right, is the whose mind is stayed on you or fixed on you or focused on you. Because when we're doing that, it says we're trusting in him. We're trusting in him. Take a look at Psalm 119. Right in the middle of your Bibles there. Psalm 119, and it's verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Listen to this. Great peace have those who what? Love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Man, that's a great promise. Great peace have those who love your law. So as we meditate on God's word, and again, that's really kind of redirecting our focus away from the circumstances onto God, who we can trust with everything, right, and onto his promises. And as we bring them to mind and we pour out our heart to God, we can, by his grace, experience his peace. So focusing on God, trusting him, meditating on his word, are all help us as believers. There's something that Kathy mentioned, humility. I was thinking about this today too, in relationship to having this internal peace as believers, is we have to humble ourselves and be dependent. You know, we're taught to be self-sufficient, and there's the healthy aspect of that in terms of just social life, of learning to become independent and all that, but not to be independent from God. We need to be totally reliant on him. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10 says this. James 4, 6 to 10. But he gives a greater grace, it says. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. It says, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And this passage is just all about, listen, God is opposed to the proud. You need God's help. You need to realize that you need him every moment, right? Every hour, like that old hymn, right? Every hour I need thee. Every hour, right? And this is what humility is. One aspect of it is saying, God, I need you. I need you every minute. I can't go to work today, or I can't do this thing that I'm facing without you. I just can't. But he gives his grace as we humble ourselves, but he's opposed to the proud. You know who? You know, you're never going to win against God when he's against you. You realize that, right? He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? And so let's not forget that as we see it, we want to experience the peace that the Lord promises believers there. We have to be humble, right? And I'm just going to make mention of this last piece here, because, you know, if we have peace with God, right, if we're in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have peace with him, and we're experiencing the peace of God in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit, through his grace, if that's happening, we will be able to be more at peace with each other in our relationships than when we're not. Because when my heart's not right with God, I'm not going to be easy to live with, and I'm not going to put up with your little idiosyncrasies that I don't like. okay, nor mine to you. But when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are experiencing the peace of God, we are given the supernatural ability to kind of overlook or bear with one another, as the scripture uses the phrase, bear with one another. That's a command, right? But we cannot do that unless we're, first of all, made right with God and then have experienced the peace of God. Because when we're not at peace within ourselves, it's going to cause relationship problems. It really will. And I just want to leave you with a couple of scriptures that will just kind of encourage you to really pursue peace. Because this is a big deal with God. Is that He wants believers to be united with one another, because it says something to a world that's lost. This Galatians verse just talks about how Jesus has made a way for us to be one. They're saying that there's no, you know, this phrase there that was even mentioned. There's the ground is level at the foot of the cross, right? Right. There, regardless of any sort of class distinctions or race differences or you know, amount of money in the bank account, it doesn't matter at the cross when we come to Jesus. None of that matters. And shouldn't matter after we come to Christ, right? And so this Galatians verse says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's one aspect that Jesus has accomplished for us is unity, all right? Regardless of how different we are, it's a glory to God when we can operate as the body of Christ was intended, regardless of all the vast differences in our lives. So let me leave you with these two challenges here in relationship here. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. And then he says in Romans 14:19, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. And these are challenges from the scriptures that say, you know what? You got a relationship problem with somebody in the body of Christ. You need to get on it. It doesn't matter whose end was wrong from your point of view. He says, pursue it. He didn't really say only if it was their problem, right? Or, you know, it was they started it, you know, or whatever. He's just saying no, because it shouldn't be that way in the body, right? Christ died for many things, but, you know, for our sins primarily, but this unity within the body, pursuing peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We thank you that we're able to have peace with you, God, the Father, because of the Son, Jesus. And again, I just pray that anyone here who has not put their faith in Jesus and made that personal decision, that they would today before they leave. But Lord, any of us believers too that are lacking peace because of circumstances, would you, by your grace, as we cry out to you, Abba, Father, help pour out your grace, your mercy on the situation. Help us to humble ourselves and come to you, having that attitude of that we need you every hour, not just in the crisis. Every hour we need you. Help us to refocus our gaze upon you, like Johnny Erickson Tata was saying there, as that helped her be at peace in her pain. God, Lord, help us to mend any fences that need to be mended too within the body. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.